up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. I'm Vaughan Bennison, thanks for your company. A few months ago in the program, we spoke to Geordie Howell, who, among other things, was setting off to the United States to head up a delegation to the International Council on English Braille. We thought it was worth following up on that, so we spoke to one of the people who went along with Geordie, Bill Jolly. Now, I know there might be some BCA members out there who don't know who you are, so why don't you just quickly tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, I've had a long involvement with Blind Citizens Australia. I was the first secretary when we formed the organisation in 1975. I had a couple of stints as president of BCA in the 1980s and again in the 1990s. And for 6 years during 1994 to 2000, I was the executive officer. So quite a long involvement. I still have a little involvement. I'm a member of the board's finance committee, and I'm also a member of the newly formed former leaders advisory group. So that's about it. In terms of the other parts of my life, I've now sort of retired really from full-time work. I'm married to Carmel, who's a member of Blind Citizens Australia, and one of our daughters, Bridget, has low vision. So she was involved some years ago with Young Blind Citizens.
Now, it's not about BCA that we're here to talk to you today. It's about the International Council on English Braille. And you may remember that some weeks ago on the program, we talked to Geordie Howell about heading a delegation to go over to the United States of America for that. And, Bill, you were part of that delegation.
Yes, that's right, Vaughan. I've been involved with the Australian Braille Authority and the International Council on English Braille for quite some years. I was manager of computerised braille production in Sydney at the Royal Institute for Deaf and Blind Children for a number of years back in the 1980s, and have maintained an interest in braille codes and in the promotion of braille as well. So we have 8 countries that are members of the International Council on English Braille, and they are Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, Nigeria, South Africa, United States, and the United Kingdom. And we have a General Assembly every 4 years where we look at the administration of the organisation as well as the major issues concerning Braille. And the main project of the ICEB really over the last 20 years or so, it's a very detailed technical project, has been the formulation and adoption then of Unified English Braille. And all of those member countries have now adopted Unified English Braille. So Braille is harmonised across the English-speaking world, and it's also harmonised insofar as there is just one code that covers literary material, computer science and mathematics, whereas previously there were separate codes for those areas.
And the advantage to unifying, of course, is that everybody who learns English Braille learns the same way. Is that the idea?
Well, that's one of the advantages. That's the advantage in terms of unifying across countries. But the other important benefit is the updating of the Braille code, taking account of the fact that the most intense users of Braille are school students. And so with very substantial changes in education, in particular changes in the way that learning materials are presented, with the greater visualisation and use of visual cues and computerisation as well, that the Braille code needs to keep up to date with the way contemporary learning materials are presented, so that it can handle the much richer set of symbols that we confront in everyday life compared with what we might have done 50 years or 100 years ago.
What happened at the recent trip that you took to the US?
I first went as an observer to the meeting of the Braille Authority of North America, and that was held at the Maryland School for the Blind, a very large school for blind children on 97 acres of land, 210 students, 450 staff, so a ratio of students to staff of 1 to 2, which is very interesting. And that school, incidentally, has different streams. They have an academic stream, a vocational stream, and several different streams for students with special needs, including students with intellectual and other physical disabilities, in addition to their blindness. So we had the meeting there, and that meeting talked about really issues concerning the implementation of Unified English Braille in the United States, because the formal cutover occurred only in January this year. So lots of things are very new, and there's a lot of work going on to revise training materials and reference materials. So there were some interesting discussions there. Then we had the ICEB meeting for 5 days, and that was hosted by the National Federation of the Blind, and that was held in Baltimore. And the National Federation of the Blind is the largest organisation of people who are blind, who have low vision in the United States, and one of the largest organisations in the world. And they were fabulous hosts. We had a really good environment for the meeting, and we had some good discussions. There were delegates there from the 8 countries, so altogether there was, say, about 30 delegates and another probably 20 observers. We looked at the Unified English Braille Code and some aspects of the code that still need refining. We decided that it was necessary to revise the guidelines for technical material. That's for the treatment of mathematics and science, and I've taken on that task of convening the working group and editing the document to revise the guidelines. So that's not a revisiting of the rules, but it's an elaboration of how the rules are applied to everyday material that students confront at school, from little kids learning maths at school through to senior secondary maths and then tertiary mathematics and science. We received reports on other committees, including the music committee that Geordie Howe leads, and that committee has been particularly concerned to preserve collections of music that are held in hard copy, and to find ways that countries can share their resources and also hopefully digitise their resources so that they can be more easily sharing of those resources, because Braille music is a scarce resource because it's complex to produce and there aren't many producers, mostly volunteers. And we also talked about some aspects of Braille technology, and in particular technology for reading devices.
We talked to Neil Jarvis a couple of weeks ago about the Orbit Braille Reader, and we talked about how exciting it was and what a wonderful opportunity it provided for people in third world countries, particularly, to have a very low-cost Braille device so that finally they can have access to digitally produced Braille. And what were your thoughts?
It looks a very nice device. It has a Braille keyboard for a limited amount of input and control. It's primarily a reading device. It's not intended to be a document preparation device, but it can be used with a limited capacity to take notes. The producer has decided that they will be able to make the device available for $320 US as a wholesale price, and then various organisations which form the consortium to develop the project, they will then sell the product for whatever's the appropriate price in their country, allowing for probably in some cases for a markup, but not in others. And Vision Australia will be the distributor in Australia. Another device that I saw that was very interesting was the Knut Braille Reader, and this was a multi-line Braille display, and it might typically have 8 lines of 32 cells, and it is intended to be cheaper than a Perkins Brailler. So that's the objective of the manufacturer of this device, and It's got some further work to do in terms of development. It has a new technology for refreshing the pins, and so far the refresh rate is fairly slow. So they have to do some more work to improve that. But I think that it's got terrific prospect for students at school, for example, for learning and reading mathematics and perhaps music, where you need a display that covers more than just one line. And I think eight lines of 32 characters would be very useful. And in terms of the refresh rate, perhaps when you get into you've read the eight lines and then you start refreshing, as long as the first line refreshes pretty quickly, then you can start reading that while the rest of the lines are refreshing. So that may be a problem that can be overcome. So the developments with the electronic braille displays were really very exciting there. And I think for me that was one of the highlights of the General Assembly. A new suite of officers were elected, and the representative from Australia, there's one representative from each country on the executive, the representative from Australia is Leona Holloway, and she is the public relations officer, and she replaces me on the executive. I stand down, having been treasurer for the last 8 years. So I did two terms as treasurer, so I've sort of finished that activity. So it was a good General Assembly. I think we made some good progress, and it was very enjoyable as well.
And of course, later on in the year, we've got the World Blind Union General Assembly. Are you planning to attend this year?
No, I don't expect to be attending this year. I have attended a number of those from 1988 through to 2008. But this year, I think I'll leave it to the younger generation. And that's going to be held in Orlando, Florida. And we just pause and reflect sadly on the tragedy in Orlando. And just we have sympathy and prayers to the families of the people who died there. Very sad. The host organisation will be the National Federation of the Blind of the United States. There'll be the General Assembly of the World Blind Union and the International Council of Education of Visually Impaired, the ICEVI, as well. And this is marks the formal end, really, of the leadership of Mary Ann Diamond from Australia, who was president during 2008 to 2012 and has now been immediate past president of the World Blind Union. And so she finishes her term of service, and it's been an outstanding contribution, in particular the Marrakesh Treaty. And hopefully there will be the 20 countries having ratified the treaty so that it comes into force as a treaty by the time of the WBU General Assembly.
And that will be a real game changer for people who are not only in education, but people who just generally enjoy having books and material to read in Braille or in audio.
Not so much in Australia, I think, not so much in developed countries, but particularly in developing countries where the production resources are much more scarce.
Absolutely. And with the advent of low-cost Braille technology, it just opens up a whole world for a lot of people out there. Bill, thanks very much for joining us on New Horizons.
Thanks, Vaughan. Pleasure to be with you.
And I'm able to report that as of Friday, 20 countries have ratified the treaty, and we're expecting that it'll go into force sometime around the end of September of 2016. So congratulations to all those involved. A marvellous effort. That's our program for this week. My thanks to Bill Jolly for joining me. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by email as usual on bca@bca.org.au or by telephone on 1-800-033-660. I can be contacted by emailing new.horizons@bca.org.au if you've got anything that you'd like to hear featured on New Horizons or any comments about the program. Until next week, take care.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.